From the prophet Isaiah, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and great darkness the peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you." Countless televisions preach the message of just how dark our world really is. What they do not preach is that this darkness cannot overcome the light that is Christ Jesus. The darkness of this world can do plenty. It can eclipse your health. It can overshadow your wealth. It can cover over your family. The darkness of this world can overcome any treasure of this world, but it cannot overcome Christ, your Lord. Have you noticed that the greatest evils of our time are often thought to be the most brilliant lights? The mass slaughter of the innocents by the abortionist knife is thought to be the brilliant light of women's freedom. The institution of homosexual marriage and further destruction of the family, the core unit of society, is thought to be the brilliant light of progress. The disintegration of virtue and the moral decay of an entire nation are celebrated as the light of social change. Consider our Lord's sobering words. "If then the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" In the Christian church, Epiphany means appearance. Today we celebrate the appearance of Jesus and the further revelation of who he is. The appearance of the little child whom the Magi visit is as the rising of a sun on a dark, cold planet. The rising of a radiant star that lightens the entire nighttime sky. The appearance or epiphany of this little child is the fulfillment of God's most important promise. In his loving providence, God has ordained to help our world set on its course to destruction. It is amazing help that he offers, considering that we have made ourselves his enemies. From the beginning until now, we have set ourselves in opposition to God. From birth, our hearts are inclined against him. We are one race, one great, big, rebellious man. And God has every right to crush us. And even in destroying us, he would be just and good. Instead, he has made a promise of mercy to us, undeserved mercy. He sends to us his own son, even foreknowing, not causing, but foreknowing what we would do to his son. We will spit in the face of the help he sends. We will mock his mercy. We will crucify his son. But even this greatest of all evils does not deter God from keeping his everlasting promise. For God is faithful and he is good. What we mean is the greatest evil, murdering his own son, he has meant for the very essence of our salvation. The death of his son will be our life and the life of the world. the grace of God, this astounding mercy, are simply beyond our comprehension. How would your life be different if you meditated upon His grace and His mercy in Christ Jesus every moment of every day, knowing who Christ Jesus is through the Word of God? We draw near to Him as the wise men did. We take our place amongst all who are coming from the nations of the world, all who are being drawn to Him even now. For He alone is our light and our salvation. Long ago, God made a promise to Adam and to Eve, to the entire human race. That promise was made more specific to Abraham. Through his seed, all the families of the earth would be blessed. Abraham was to have countless descendants, born not from his body, but born from the seed of faith. God Himself compares these children of faith with the countless array of stars in the night sky. The Father of all nations was to hope not in earthly progeny, but in progeny from above. This is not a story, of course. This is history. And this very day, God continues to call the nations of the world, declaring His mercy, the everlasting gospel of His Son. To this very day, the children of flesh reject Him, and the children of blessing now receive Him. Just as God promised to Abraham all those years ago, this gospel has come even to you in this tiny little corner of one of the world's many nations. So, know who you are, and know whose you are, thanks to the mercy of our wonderful God. The little child playing on the lap of Mary is the fulfillment of God's greatest promise. As a light into the darkness, God has sent us His Son. And even though the darkness will crucify Him, the darkness will not overcome Him. But bursting forth from death and from the grave, the Son of God shines from everlasting to everlasting. The Son of God shines upon you this very moment, His brilliance clothed only in His Word as great beams of warmth and light. So bask in His forgiveness and delight in His light. This is the fulfillment of our salvation, God keeping His promise to us. So the voices of all the prophets together are met in this same joyful shout of Isaiah. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. This is a statement of fact. God has done this unspeakably marvelous thing for you. Your sins He has taken away, and your death He has removed. Your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. This is a statement of fact, but it is also a command. Arise, shine. Just as God once commanded light to come out of the darkness, saying, "Let there be light," even so, He now speaks the dawning of a new creation, saying to you, arise, shine. By His Word, He makes light to shine from the darkness. By His Word, He makes His light to shine from you. There's nothing to fear in the word sanctification. Sanctification is a word for what God is doing in you. By His Word, He causes you to arise and shine. He has created you anew. He sustains you in the newness of your being. He causes you to arise and shine in that little piece of firmament in which He has set you, to shine exactly in that place where He has set you for your vocation and for your life. His light shining on you and reflecting off you. Whether you recognize it or not, whether you feel it or not, whether your heart condemns you or not, you are children of Abraham through faith. You are children of God, our Heavenly Father. And therefore, you are the light of the world, as our Lord Jesus Himself preaches. God has made you the light of the world. Even if your heart condemns you, there is one who is greater than your heart. He has made you wise unto salvation. And the Scriptures declare that those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. What righteousness? The righteousness found not in man, but only in the God-man, Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's why the wise men don't come and kneel before me or you. They kneel and worship only before the Christ, and we kneel and worship with them. They offer their gifts to the Lord Jesus alone, as do we. And offering, as we called it in church, has gotten a pretty bad name. The checks and cash that we put into the plate are not to be leftover scraps of a me-centered budget. Nor, on the other hand, should we think of them as charity or membership dues or any other such nonsense. Our offerings are nothing less than our gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We offer as Abel, not as Cain. We offer priestly, sacrificial gifts. Gifts worthy of the King who has worn the crown of thorns for us, conquering our enemies. The Magi's gifts proclaim to the world who this child is. Gold fit for the King, incense fit for God, myrrh, the oil used for anointing the dead. For Christ is our King, our God, and the one who will die and rise. As Isaiah says, the Lord will arise upon you, and His glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come into your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. So this morning, this Epiphany Sunday, let us give thanks to the merciful God who has qualified us, as St. Paul writes, to share in the position of the saints in light. The merciful God who has delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. There is only one who has saved you, the Creator of the universe made flesh, the Creator of the universe risen from the dead in His flesh, the Creator of the universe, present with us here in His flesh, giving you His flesh and His blood to eat and drink for the forgiveness of your sins. So this very morning, in Holy Communion, you celebrate a most intimate epiphany or appearance. For in the breaking of the bread, our Lord Jesus Christ reveals Himself to you, and He reveals His heart toward you. If He judged you guilty of sin, He would be right. If he judged you worthy of death and eternal hell, he would also be right. But he has come not to condemn the world, but that through him the world might have life. And so it is with you. He bids you to eat and drink of him, not for condemnation, but as he says, for the forgiveness of your sins. Here, at this humble little altar, is the true center of the universe. And Christ shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And if you commune with him, then the darkness will not overcome you. In Jesus' name, amen.